Who Back When?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another bonus episode of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast.
Or Dog Past.
Slash Dark Post.
Wait, why?
Explain. Because one of the characters that we'll be reviewing today in our second ever comics episode...
Oh my god, really?
Is Absalom Dark.
Wow. Are you talking about the 11th Doctor one?
I am indeed, which we touched upon last time.
We did.
And have now followed through as far as we could make ourselves towards the conclusion, because it's a truly endless serial, but we'll get to that.
Yes, we will. If you haven't heard the first bonus comic book review that we've dropped on Who Back When, just go back and look for it. I was just about to assign it a number B0 something something, but... I mean, we didn't at the time. I honestly can't remember which episode it was.
But this is B027 anyway.
This is indeed, yeah.
And you presumptuously titled that one Comics Number 1,
which is
half the reason why we're back doing Comics Number 2. I suppose it was motivational. Well done.
Thanks.
We'll have some fun.
We will. That's the idea. So, before we start... Who the hell are you, man?
Oh, me? Why, I'm Drew Back When.
Hello, Drew Back When. And I'm Ponkin. Hello, everyone. In contrast to our first comic book review, this time we're not going to be looking at individual editions of two specific series of comic books, and we'll take maybe a couple of minutes to talk about the whole concept of series, but instead we will be touching upon one series in its entirety. Am I right, Drew?
Ish.
Ish.
Oh, yeah, yes. No, right. The Eighth Doctor.
The Eighth Doctor. Yeah, there you go. So one series in its entirety, one that we actually started looking at the last time, one that you have read, Drew. The last time we both read the same comics. This time you've read the 11th Doctor one.
Yes.
I've not. I instead will be introducing you to the Four Doctors.
Also, this time, as you can tell, we're going to be really super concise and professional. And we're not going to sound like we're calling to you from down the other end of the time vortex.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Post-production will bear it out.
No pressure, no pressure. Okie dokie, so where do you want to start?
How about you start with the complete one that you have fully read?
Ah, the Eighth Doctor.
Yeah, and then we can get some mid-program closure and everything can just unravel towards the end.
Okay, so we reviewed the very first issue of this series.
Titan Comics very generously sent us their Eighth Doctor... Yeah, introduction extravaganza. This is going to be a great big thing. And
yeah,
we're giving you this free preview copy. And we were like, this is fucking awful, Titan.
It was, quote-unquote, season one, issue one of five of what they titled The New Adventures with the Eighth Doctor. They're very, very, like, the Eighth Doctor popping his cherry one more time in comic book form. And we shat all over it.
Yes, we repaid them handsomely with just... invective. Bile.
You gave issue one 1.1 out of 5, and I gave it 0.7 out of 5.
Yeah, and I remember that my score was slightly higher than yours because I was more optimistic than you that it might get better.
So now you've also read the whole thing. Do you find that it did get better? Wait. Shall we both say at the same time yes or no if we thought it got better?
Let's do it.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, yes.
Yes! Oh, hooray!
Nice! Agreement.
Much.
In what way did it get better? What did you like? And also, should we be spoiling this for podcast land?
Well, I'm necessarily vague because I haven't read it all that recently.
Okay.
Because, you know, I read a lot of comics now. Titan, I mean, okay, I haven't gone out and... bought any yet, but I'm certainly reading a lot more preview copies. So, you know, I'm taking baby steps along the road to full Doctor Who comic fandom, but it's working in small doses. I remember that, yes, I was pleased with the overall arc for the companion. What's her name?
Josie?
Yes, Josie Day.
That's the one.
Yes. A bit too much like Jessica Day from New Girl, but that's just a quibble. Yeah, our problems before... which we expatiated upon at great length.
Great word.
Thank you. It popped into my head in lieu of actual useful memories that I can substantiate my comments with.
Brilliant pronunciation of lieu.
Thank you.
Sorry. I keep interrupting you. Go for it.
Precipice here. I'm trying so hard.
Precipice, eh? Right. Carry on. Sorry, I apologize.
I remember we did get off Earth instantly, and the Doctor did take her around the galaxy, and the payoffs by which the perils were solved or resolved were better. Basically, that first issue, as far as I can recall, just sort of had the worst of everything, and it did get better in almost every way after that. What would you say?
The one thing that I really thought got better was her part in it all, Josie's part in it all.
Yeah.
But up until the very end, the way that they laid out the story, because this series consists of 5 issues. In issue 1, we're introduced to her. Issue 2, issue 3, issue 4. Throughout those issues, I was immensely frustrated with how she was portrayed as a character, because I constantly felt like, well, what the shit? If I were in her shoes, I would be so freaked out by all of this. This is specifically to do with Josie. I had other problems with this series as well.
Okay.
But I just felt like she wasn't a very realistic character, certainly not a very realistic companion. And then towards the end of issue 5, spoiler alert, there's a great big revelation that kind of excuses her blasé approach to the universe in like one frame of the comic. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually that was kind of clever, and now I sort of like this character and I understand it, and yeah, I wouldn't mind reading more about her. But I really wish that there had been some other indication, because that was a huge point of contention for me while I read the whole goddamn thing.
Right, so what they needed to do was drop a couple more breadcrumbs.
Just anything.
Yeah.
Maybe she could have like little flashbacks, like Vietnam flashbacks.
Yeah, but then, I mean, a comic is a very visual thing. It's not like I know you can pause an episode now because they're all on the internet.
Yeah.
And you can go back and, as a still, treat it exactly like a comic panel. But it's quite hard to keep the mystery, isn't it? Unless they make it blurry or fuzzy or something.
Oh,
but
see, I don't know. So that's something that I might touch upon in the other one that I read, the Four Doctors one, because I thought that's something that they did very well in that.
Okay, but I suppose the point is, in the first one, her paintings reveal that she has some knowledge. Well, I suppose maybe that's a thing, isn't it? Maybe they don't progress past that. There's like, the paintings indicate that she has been around the universe.
And she has the anime particles, is that what they were called?
Yeah. So you know that much, but they don't give you any more. I suppose there must be ways that they could have given you more without revealing the reveal.
Possibly.
Which
revealing. Did I not at all answer your question, by the way? What did you ask? Did I completely misunderstand you?
No, I think I just asked, did it get better? And you said, well, here's how it didn't get better. So actually, yeah, okay. Go through some of your other problems and tell me how it did get better and what ceased to be frustrating.
Okay. No, that's a good idea. Let's start with the negatives. Something that I found slightly frustrating was that it's a very short series, right?
Yeah.
And
in comparison, I mean, it's probably a double episode arc in Doctor Who TV real time.
I guess so. It doesn't take very long to read it.
Although, no, hang on, that's stupid. How about, there are 5 episodes, how about it's the same length as an old style Doctor Who serial?
I don't feel like that's the case. If it was, then we just had sort of a fast forward through each episode. So the frustrating element for me was that each issue simply ended too soon. And these little mini adventures, there was so much more to enjoy and to read into them that I thought each one of those could have benefited from being fleshed out across 5 issues. You know, there's the second issue has, well, not the first one where her paintings come alive, because that was incredibly lame. And I think we agreed on that in our first review. But the second one, for example, so we have the cat planet inside another hollow planet and they're at war with this crystalline entity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy bananas awesome. I want to hear more about that. But instead, it's just like, oh no, we're at war. You're not going to be able to solve this, Doctor. Yeah, I'm going to be able to solve this. Watch me. And then he solves it.
Boom, solution.
Done. That's it. And that's kind of frustrating. It was a little bit too easy. Like, all you needed was, she goes, oh, I'm going to do, I'm sorry, spoilers. Like, all she had to do was like, oh, I'm just going to talk to the alien. Like, well, that's kind of nonsense, isn't it? That's kind of a My Little Pony solution to this problem. Now I'm offending people who are fans of My Little Pony, but that's, you know what I mean. Like, it's a relatively banal solution to what could potentially be a very complex scenario, you know, intergalactic war or interstellar war.
Yeah, when they didn't think of going to the shopping center and getting a milkshake and just, you know, having a heart-to-heart.
Yeah, exactly. Don't just tell them, oh, what you're doing is wrong, and then have the alien actually respond to that. That's kind of, it's too, you know, Cub Scouts. And then, okay, another one. Sorry, I'm gonna dish out some negatives in issue 3.
Get it all out, man. Get it all out.
In issue 3, which is, that's the one with the mirrors, right?
Oh, the conjurer who takes people's souls to the mirror world or something.
Exactly. Awesome. That would make for such a horrific, maybe a Christmas special or something, because it's kind, you know, it's whatever.
Like, they could do it in a pantomime.
That's what they would do, and they would stretch it out over 40 minutes.
Or 70.
Or 70 minutes, yeah. This one was over in, like, maybe 10, 15, but there's an element of the crystalline entity in that issue. He cracks open one of the machines and he goes, oh, there's a tiny part of the crystal whatever, the spherions or something, in there.
So everything's interlinked.
Does that ever get revisited? No.
Oh.
Not at all.
Shame.
So that's a bit of a bummer. But overall, certainly got better than her paintings coming alive. I like the resolution of it. What did you think? Now I've babbled. I've literally babbled for 5 minutes now. Go for it.
The fourth issue, there's a dormant king or something. And
exactly.
He's terrorizing the sort of remote large house. You get quite a lot in Doctor Who, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, okay, that could have been perhaps more original. And then the fifth episode is where Josie really comes into her own, and she's given a ton of dialogue.
Yes, she does.
And a pivotal part in... Well, I suppose that reaches back to the second, doesn't it? Because she's like, you should all talk and you should understand each other. So in that way, it's consistent. You can't exactly say they fucked up in their intention, because they did exactly what they intended to do throughout the arc. They set it all up in that way.
Mm.
It's just that we don't think it makes for a particularly engaging storyline.
Did we say this in the first one? Is this one maybe more suited to a younger audience?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely than the one with the chain swords and mercenaries and the blood and the punching.
There's some creepy imagery in this one. In the reflection, in the mirror world, there's like a dude with a pig's head, a leg for an arm, and like a weird, whatever, like a stump made out of half a finger or something. Like,
yeah,
it's
but you
really
saying
creepy.
Leg for an arm just reminds me of, here's my old friend, Mr. McGreg, with a leg for an arm and an arm for a leg.
Would you recommend this?
To my niece, well, my putative niece, she doesn't exist. Had I a niece, I would recommend it to her.
Oh, interesting.
Well, a niece who was about, I don't know, 9 or 10. I'm thinking like Matilda level.
Yeah, here. And there are some people that die in issue 5, spoiler alert, so you know that your niece is going to soil herself.
Well, no.
It's good.
My niece can take it. My niece is growing up to be a strong, independent woman.
0.0 to 5.0. Bear in mind, you started off with 1.1.
I did.
Now the overall score.
And it definitely got better. And I did like the explanation for Josie. I don't know. I don't want to be too generous, because I don't want to be like, oh, and that made it all worthwhile. Because it didn't make it all worthwhile. Like you say, there are some negative points. I'm going to give it a 1.9.
Yeah. Nice. I'm going to give it a 1.8, because I was below your score the last time. I'm just... decidedly will remain below your score. Yeah, 1.8.
One thing we didn't talk about is, did the representation of the Eighth Doctor get any better?
Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah, there were some points where I could kind of imagine Paul McGann saying those words. And, okay. Hang on, we didn't say this either. The Twelfth Doctor makes not one, but two appearances in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that has contributed to the score being bumped up to 1.8/1.9.
So we wouldn't say avoid this one at all costs?
No, absolutely not. And if you're a completist, then, you know, have a look. But it's a very, very small comic. As in, it's a short comic. You can read it in not too long a time. And we've already kind of spoiled it for you, but, well, large chunks of it. There are some very interesting concepts brought up in it. The war, the crystalline entity, whatever it is, the spherion, so on and so forth.
Yeah, we've only spoiled the bits that deserve to be spoiled. You can dig for the golden nuggets yourselves.
If you have a younger sibling or a niece.
Or a simple cousin.
Then by all means, Christmas is coming up. Give them this one.
I want to say something that you just brought up.
Oh, what's that?
Which is that the 8th and the 12th Doctor appear in comics, and this appears in pretty much every comic I saw, apart from a Capaldi one, which I only read one issue of, is that the people in the comics, I don't know if the artists want to prove they can draw more than one Doctor accurately. Whether would we do that all the time if we had unlimited potential, as comics do, unconstrained by budget, as TV episodes are?
Yeah.
Would we just mash all combinations of multiple Doctors in, like, all the time?
Well, isn't this maybe... I mean, a lot of this, even though it's officially licensed and it may not be officially canon, but it's certainly... like, I mean, it's an official BBC product, right?
Yeah.
Even so, there's an element of fanfic about this to me. Like, it doesn't... It feels like, well, I mean, they're not really Doctor Who stories, right? This is someone just imagining what the Doctor might do. And maybe those people are suffering the exact same symptoms that you and I were suffering when trying to compose the audiobook story.
Yeah. You know, like, oh, let's have three Doctors and two Masters.
Let's cram everything in, you know? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's an ongoing / upcoming project.
Yeah. And, I mean, I suppose in normal Doctor Who, you have to wait for an anniversary, for an enormous crossover event, or comic relief where Tennant meets Davidson.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Hurt appears as a new Doctor, it's a huge epochal thing. These things only happen once every 2 or 3 or 5 years, or maybe even less than that. But in comics, all the time. And I, like you say, it is fan fiction. Is it because it muddies the timeline or something? Are there just too many references with the TV series grind to a halt under the weight of all these interconnections?
Maybe it's a fear of their readership not being that into the one Doctor.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Like, there are so many references all over the place to various things. I mean, in that first issue, we talked about this in our first review, I think, there are like 7 or 8 different aliens from Classic Who that turn up, or from Doctor Who in general that turn up,
yeah,
that really serve no purpose. And why is that? Do you really think that you're going to make a bigger splash if your first issue contains a fuck ton of just fan service?
Yeah. I mean, the only TV...
Sorry for the F-bomb.
The only TV equivalent I can think of that is the Pandorica Opens, where...
Everyone's there.
Yeah, everyone's there. All the Doctor's old foes being like, yeah, we've all teamed up, I don't know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle style, where they have to join forces with Shredder and Krang because there's some even bigger bastard who's come along, and it just... Yeah. Makes your heart sink. Maybe that's a good reason why they don't do it more often.
Maybe. Did we just stumble upon the truth? I think we did.
Yeah, perhaps.
Do you want to jump into the next one?
Well, you talking about loading up your storyline with as much as you possibly can is a great way to introduce the next one. Because I kept thinking, as you sent me review link after review link, okay, perhaps it's just how comics work in that I'm not used to the rhythms and the beats, but of an arc. Whereas an episode, well, I suppose you know how long an episode is going to be, whether it's going to be a 1 or 2-parter. There's no surprise there. With a comic, you think, it's probably going to end this time, right? But then they will bring something new in, take you off in a completely new direction,
and string you along. Do you not think that there's sort of a set amount of issues per... I mean, I'm calling them seasons. I'm not sure what to call it. Volume.
Well,
volume?
Possibly. Yeah. But I don't think there's anything stopping a comic arc from going on indefinitely, like over 1 or 2 or 3 volumes. Because in this one, in the 11th Doctor one, the last issue you sent me was 2.12.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to end at 2.5, like with the 8th Doctor one, or possibly 2.10. And it keeps going. And you've got... You go along at various points, and they bring in the Master... And then the Sontarans and River Song and then Sharda and then...
Sounds like there's way too much happening here.
The Time War? I mean, the Time War was there implicitly from the beginning with John Hurt and the War Doctor, but that gets relaunched in a much...
Hurt's part of that 11th Doctor story?
He comes into it in 2.12. Yeah, keeps going. And there's no end in sight, and it's so intricate, and that's not to say it's bad, because this is seriously epic. You were talking about the one before being too small. This is hundreds and hundreds of pages, and it hangs together pretty well. And I don't want to review it all in one spunk load of a sentence, but yeah. I mean, it just leaves me speechless after a point.
Is it too much? Should I read this, by the way?
I think you probably should read this.
Yeah?
When you get to 12 or so issues, yes, there are 1 or 2 that flag.
Or that sag a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
sag.
But I think overall, it is well worth reading. I mean, at one point, it did annoy me. And I was like, well, who on earth would spin out a story over an entire, like, 24-issue arc? And then I remembered Trial of a Time Lord and remembered how well that went for everyone.
Yeah, so we've done that before.
Yeah. But there's no reason why you can't try that again and it work out better. And I think it pretty much does. There are lots of good points to this arc. As before, we gave it 4.2s.
Yeah.
And
yeah, both of us.
Yeah, it's much more adult, so of course it would appeal to us. It's,
I mean, you say that. I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of a younger reader in giving the 8th Doctor 1 a 1.8.
Yeah.
Like if I were 15 years younger, I would read this and I would still be disappointed.
Yeah, but if you were 15 years younger...
sending the free copy Titan Comics.
Do you mean 20 years younger?
How dare you?
We're supposed to be finished with this podcast by now.
So what would you give it so far? Are you, how far along in volume 2 are you?
I've read the first 8.
Okay.
Fully. 9 and 10 I skimmed. 11 seems to have fallen through a crack in space and time. I've skimmed number 12 as well, just to sort of see what direction it went in, which, as I said, was a completely different... And okay, it wasn't unpredictable, but it was unpredictable the amount of time they would spend on it. And I really can't see... Whereas before, I could see how it could be knit together briefly. Now it's like, well, this is going to take several more issues to resolve.
I think I have 2.15, by the way.
Oh, my
goodness. I've not read them yet. I mean, I've in that series, in that volume, I've not read past the first issue.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if it took a full 20, and that was the entirety of a year's output or something.
Wow.
Yeah. But actually, there's one point I want to make of what you said in relation to what you said before.
Okay.
Which is that you said, yes, the 8th Doctor one is for younger readers, and it's only 5 issues. I mean, this is a significant investment if you want to buy all of these.
That's true.
Rather than just be sent them.
How much are they?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to find out right now, because I'm sure someone out there in podcast land is right now thinking, this sounds really interesting. I want to buy this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at Amazon right now, and you can buy full volumes of various series. So, for example, The Eighth Doctor, it's called A Matter of Life and Death, by the way.
Okay.
The Eighth Doctor series that we just reviewed.
Is unoriginal.
Yeah, definitely. And not wholly relevant to the plot.
Well, in the last episode, I can sort of see how that... Last issue, I can see how that becomes more relevant.
Really?
But anyway, let's not quibble.
I don't feel like it's much about life and death, more about like identity. Okay, regardless. So, The Eighth Doctor, Matter of Life and Death, you can buy that on Amazon in paperback, the whole volume, for £10.68.
Oh, okay. What's the RRP on that, though? If you can find out how much a single issue would be, I mean, obviously they have subscription deals that make it slightly less.
On Titan Comics website, you can buy individual issues, and they're actually not that much more expensive. They're £2.65 per issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That times 5, fine. You're going a little bit over £10.68, but whatever. You know, it depends entirely on what you're after. Maybe you enjoy collecting individual issues. Maybe you want all the individual issues on your bookshelf, or you want whole volumes. Personally, I think I'd probably prefer the volumes.
Well, I mean, one thing that they do that I noticed...
do.
with your 11th one, is at the end of each 11th issue, they have a little one-pager in a completely different style, a much more Beano style. We mentioned this before.
Yeah.
Which you do not get in the volumes, the compendiums.
Yeah.
But...
No, that's not true.
You don't?
Yeah, you do.
What?
Oh, really?
I didn't see them in the files.
Oh, I definitely... Because I read The Eighth Doctor as... I read that first issue that we both read, just the issue, and that was whenever it was, last year or something. And this time around, I read the actual full volume, and it just stops in the middle of the storyline, as in where one issue would end and right before the next one would start. It stops, and it just adds this nonsense, childish thing, which after 2 or 3, I stopped reading, because I thought they were awful.
Really? They were in the 8th one?
I think so, were they not?
Really?
Oh, no, you know what? I'm thinking of the 4 Doctors. Sorry.
Right.
My bad.
Well, what I can tell you...
Sorry.
...in relation to the 11th one is you definitely don't get those in the compendiums, but in the compendium, the second volume, certainly, you do get an extra bit that isn't in the single issues. So they basically incentivize you, if you are a completist, to buy absolutely everything both ways, which you got to make ends meet, but it's a...
But I did read the volume, so sorry, what I was thinking of was the 4 Doctors.
Yeah.
And I read the volume edition of this, the full volume, and that did stop in the middle of the storyline, just to introduce 2 pages of something that was drawn in a much more childish way. It was just a tangent with a bad joke tagged on at the end.
Okay, so sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
I guess they may have to fill out a volume in some way.
It's the other thing as well, like you wouldn't get the different covers. So if you're interested in, you know, every issue would have its own cover. So if you're a completist in that sense and you want all the different covers as part of your collection, then I get why you might want to buy the individual issues.
Yeah.
But they're just more flimsy, aren't they? Like, get a fucking paperback.
Yeah, the point I was sort of very circuitously getting around to was that if you are a younger reader, then you may not have the disposable income after you've bought your latest iPhone and your Nintendo 3DS
your parents
games.
Have bought that latest iPhone for you.
Yeah.
For half a month's rent.
Whatever. And, you know, there's all that crack and heroin to spend it on. The 11th Doctor, if it's 20 episodes or something, then that is both in terms of tone and in terms of cost much more geared to an adult audience, perhaps. I don't know with the frequency with which 8th Doctor ones come out, but...
I don't know either.
They didn't seem to be many of them.
They were five 8th Doctor ones.
Yeah. And they didn't seem to be more after that with a new storyline, so it doesn't seem to be like the massive industry
that
the 11th Doctor one is.
Well, isn't that the new adventures with the 8th Doctor just kind of bombed and they haven't done another one? Or maybe they're just working on... I mean, this is all conjecture. They may be working on an epic second volume right now. I have no idea. I just wasn't a fan.
Yeah. Sorry.
So the 11th Doctor one, though, you would recommend it. And so far... up until this point, what would you give it?
If I had to give it a score, well, it's not. It doesn't tail off much. I mean, basically, the humour throughout remains wonderfully dry. All the Doctor's asides are great, where they put it in slightly smaller fonts. That's always good. They have, like, a TARDIS bottle episode. They devote pretty much a whole issue to, like, a TARDIS bottle episode slash house drug-fueled internal brain labyrinth sort of thing that's going on, where reality is distorted and the inside meets the outside and you don't quite know what's going on, and they have to... The Doctor and the companions are talking to various people and trying to reconcile this. That was really good. I don't know much about the Sharda stuff, but that seemed really good. There are some really clever moments there, because you're not supposed to be able to get there, but you're already dealing with the impossible. I would say that, without spoiling it, that the clever thing they do, they don't then spend 5 minutes talking about it like RTD would, saying, "Oh, it's brilliant. Well, that's ever so clever."
Okay.
And congratulating his own screenwriting. They then follow up with another clever thing, which keeps the momentum going, stops you thinking about the possible plot holes, or perhaps the conceptual cheapness of impossible plus impossible equals possible.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. And they just barrel along, and it's brimming with ideas and humour.
Tonally, this seems very different from the one that I read.
And that tone, there are jokes, but yeah... a much more agreeable tone to me. It dangles carrots. It's a proper mystery. So I'm going to stick with 4.2. I can't improve on that.
Huh.
One thing I should mention, I mentioned Absalom Dark at the beginning. According to TARDIS Wikia, he has his own page, he originally appeared in a run of comics in Doctor Who Weekly in 1980.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
And this got reprinted in, like, Marvel Comics and just other outlets for, like, most of the early 80s. If you're into Doctor Who comics, you may well know of him if he's been around for that long and they justify bringing him back.
So what kind of character is he?
What does he do? He is exactly as they set up in this one. He was a mass murderer who was exiled to a Dalek world and just started beating the shit out of them with his wife, who in this serial is dead.
Okay.
And
is he the guy with the chainsaw?
The chainsword, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so maybe this is a big event that we just didn't realise was happening. Like, this guy comes back after 35 years. And people have been waiting for that, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Although, I also looked up the absolute opposite for me. In someone nobody wants to see again. Do you remember Planet of the Dead, one of the Tennant specials, where you've got this sort of roguish lady thief who just takes off at the end? Like, she should go to jail, but RTD gives her this amazing exit, like she rides into the sky after the peril has been defeated.
What?
And everybody cheers, and Tennant gives her a winning smile, basically salutes, and it's just the most schmaltzy, smarmy piece of shit, really. And she appears in loads of comics. So essentially, even her...
Oh, I'm looking at some screenshots right now. Yeah, it's the one with the double-decker in the desert.
Yes, even her they bring back in comics and try and make her cool, and no, nobody...
Really? She turns up as well? Lady Christina de Souza?
She turns up in multiple comics.
Really?
So maybe that is an argument against Absalom Dark being, you know, a great signature event that everybody's been waiting for, but...
Well, either way, you've piqued my interest. I'm very, very curious about this. I reckon I might just read this.
Cool.
Thank you very much, Titan, for sending it across.
Yeah, it's happening, Titan. You're slowly turning us.
And it sounds like you would recommend that Podcastland have a look at this as well. If they're into comics, then why not?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it is a big investment one way or another, but if you can get your hands on the first volume, definitely flick through that, and you just might get hooked.
Interesting. I'm currently reading The Four Doctors, And which four doctors are they, you might ask?
Leon.
Yeah?
Which four doctors are they?
Oh, well, and you did ask. They are Capaldi.
Okay.
Smith.
Men of the Moment.
Tennant.
Okay.
And the War Doctor.
They have Ninth Doctor comics, though, don't they?
They do, yeah.
I mean, he must have signed over the rights to his image and all sorts of things.
Oh, I'm sure that's part of the whole Doctor Who contract. It's fine, yeah. He gets royalties. But the... I'm sure he's smiling. But, yeah, so we've got Capaldi, Tennant, Smith, and the War Doctor. I'm only, about halfway through the first volume? Of the volume. There is only one, as far as I'm aware.
And but it's probably massive, right?
It is, as in it's like 140, 150 pages.
Okay.
Which, I mean, massive, everything is relative. In comic terms, not being a regular comic book reader myself, I find 150 pages of comic actually quite a lot. I mean, it's a very speedy read, super speedy read, but it's still like, holy shit, someone sat down and drew like 150 tiny little intricate paintings about this thing. It's amazing. You know, it's quite impressive in that sense. On a different level than if someone sat down and wrote even 10 times as many words. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There are two things in which that comic or that graphic novel seems to differ from the 11th Doctor one that you read.
Okay.
Or was it the 8th Doctor one where we said, you don't really have much subtext, you can't have flashbacks, you can't have that sort of thing because it's all, you know, how are you going to convey that in comic book form? Well, in this one, in The Four Doctors, there's a lot of that because the whole thing is about how basically Clara has this dream about the planet Marinus. This is, by the way, the only reason I picked this comic of all of them, because we've been on Marinus before with Who Back When.
The Keys of Marinus.
The Keys of Marinus. And now the planet Marinus looks very different. It's a desert planet. The Vord are there. They make another appearance. The Vord, except they are also completely different characters. What in Keys of Marinus was like a suit, like a kind of a wetsuit, like the Fremen of Dune. In this case, is a bio thing that has encased a humanoid creature. Okay. So the Vord is now, like, it's an... imagine Spider-Man and what's he called? Venom? The black gloop that kind of shapes around him and turns someone into Venom. That's what the Vord are in this one. Anyway, super long tangent. So
that's interesting because you've got black gloop in the 11th arc as well. It's called the Malignant in there.
Ew.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. I like that as a concept. We encounter that in sci-fi here and there. But it does kind of tweak my nipples in a bad way that they've taken a character that we know and quote-unquote love from Keys of Marinus, i.e. the Vord, and just repurposed them for this. That's kind of a shame. Doesn't matter.
So what they're doing is they're getting the name recognition, but just doing their own thing with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that is a bit cheaty.
That is a bit cheaty. But okay, so anyway, so Clara has this dream of being on the planet Marinus, and she has a photo. Somehow she gets her hands on a photo of the other three doctors that I mentioned before. And so she goes off to Paris, where she happens to know that all three doctors will be with their respective companions. And so it's Clara and two companions that we never meet on TV, two companions that are just part of the comic book world. And at that point, we sort of get two different stories. We get the preamble to the three doctors actually meeting, and I'll get to that in a second. And then we get the actual adventure of them on the planet Marinus, which is one massive long action sequence, as far as I can tell, at least so far. It's like 50 pages of explosions. But the preamble, it kind of feels to me a little bit like, it's like watching an episode of Golden Girls. Like, I don't need to have Clara and these two make-believe companions sit in a cafe in Paris and just kind of bicker in a very unrealistic way.
Okay.
So that didn't do it for me. What did it for me, though, you might ask? Capaldi. What I got from your review of the 11th Doctor one was that there's no, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's no sort of commentary on the characters themselves. There's no, I don't want to go so far as to say breaking of the fourth wall, but there's no, like, let's turn this character into a caricature of himself. You have the 11th Doctor and he just follows all of the stereotypical mannerisms of the 11th Doctor, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in this one, you have Capaldi, who acts as an agent to expose all of the mannerisms, all of the ridiculous idiosyncrasies of the other doctors. So, for example, he makes fun of the Allons-y. He makes fun of the, I'm so sorry, I'll quote Capaldi. Here are a few things he said, apropos of breaking the fourth wall. We're all going to have some sort of multi-doctor event, whether you like it or not.
Right, okay.
I like it. at one point in one frame, he looks over at Tennant and goes, in a second, that one over there is going to tell me he's so sorry.
Right.
So he's constantly commenting on the evolution of the character in a way.
Yeah, you don't get that in the 11th one. What you do get that has just reminded me of is Sharda is a lost serial.
Yeah.
It was written by Douglas Adams.
It was.
But never filmed.
Yeah.
They have sort of an operating system, the Sharda operating system that they have to interact with.
Okay.
And it's basically one giant homage to Marvin the Paranoid Android in what he says and its depressive nature. And I really did like that. They don't make it explicit, but it's really obvious. And that was as close as they got to that sort of intertextuality.
By the way, at some point we do need to do Sharda, because even though they never completed the filming of it, and if I'm not mistaken, it's set in Oxford. I think it is set in Oxford.
Oh, okay.
As in, it's set in one of the colleges, I think. So they never completed filming for whatever reason, I'm not sure. But there's an animated version of it. There are at least two audiobook versions of it. I'm pretty sure there's a graphic novel version of it as well. And there's certainly the novelization. So, I mean, there's a wealth of what not to do there. And since we are in Oxford, if indeed I'm right and it is set in Oxford, maybe we could combine the two in some way.
Yeah. Although we should involve JD in that.
Oh, absolutely.
He can untangle this hideous web for us.
He will know all of this. And he'll probably right now be shaking his fists in the air in frustration of all of the things that I just got wrong. But yeah, long story short, I love the Capaldi character, not necessarily for being so very Capaldi, but for being this lens through which you can see the rest of the characters.
Is it review time for what you've read of that so far?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I haven't finished it, so I can't give it a full score, but up until now, I'm really enjoying it. It's got some familiar characters. It's got the Vord, even though they're very different. It's got Reapers that you'll remember from Father's Day. They're the ones that come in as soon as there's a temporal paradox. In fact, we once again get to see an empty TARDIS, as in just a wooden box, just like Eccleston did in that episode.
Okay.
It's got Wilfred Mott.
Yay!
Yeah, but he only appears, so far, he's only appeared in, like, 3 frames.
Okay.
And he's only there so that Tennant can look at him and actually go, Wilfred, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh! Right.
But so far, I'm going to give this a 4.0. And, I mean, top marks in the sense of there is no way I'm not going to finish it. I'm absolutely compelled to finish reading it. So if you can get your hands on the 4 Doctors, then please do. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Well, that brings me back in, because I've read a smidgen of a Capaldi issue, the beginning of a Capaldi series. And in that one, again, he makes a reference to Tennant always apologising.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how he does it, but yeah, it comes up pretty soon. Like, if I had a different face, I'd say sorry to you right now. Something like that. So, yeah, this is clearly on the artist's or the writer's minds.
Yeah, I think this is probably on everyone's mind. I wonder if it's an endearing quality of Tennant's Doctor, or if it's something that actually vexes other fans as much as it has vexed, well, Nick in particular, but also the rest of us.
Isn't it just easy, though, to sneer at what was going on 5 years ago? Maybe 5 years from now, when Chris Chibnall has completely revolutionised Doctor Who, we'll be like, Moffat and Capaldi, what a joke!
Oh, so old-fashioned. Well, my granddad really likes those too. Oh, by the way, speaking of the people behind the show, the writer of the 4 Doctors is Paul Cornell, whom we've also encountered on Who Back When. He's the guy who wrote, you very kindly informed me of this before you press record, he wrote Human Nature and Family of Blood, and there was something else as well. Father's Day, I think.
Yeah.
Did you write Father's Day? I think you... Oh, which actually explains the Father's Day references. So he's reusing his own creation from Father's Day in this one.
I see.
Which is maybe a little bit cheeky, but, you know, well done. He does it very well. In fact, you might argue that the Reapers in this one are way bigger, way more imposing, and super violent. I mean, it is a crazy violent story. And maybe he added them in because it was like, well, what they did in Father's Day on TV is not what I had envisioned. Not these giant demonic vaginas crossed with bats.
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly what they look like? I feel like that's exactly what they look like.
Oh, in Father's Day?
Yeah, isn't it? I don't remember exactly, but I think...
I hope it's not exactly like that. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it, though.
Either the caption or the alt text, which in which case you wouldn't be able to see it on the site necessarily, but either the caption or the alt text of that screenshot says something like, I can count 3 vaginas, how many can you? Or something like that.
Okay. Right. Well, the other things about this Capaldi comic...
Yeah.
are... Do you remember, in last week's episode, I made a reference to the Doctor drinking Pangalactic Gargle Blasters?
Yes.
He does in this comic.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, and it, wow.
And it ties in with the Douglas Adams we've been Absolutely. Talking about. Basically, the Doctor Who comics are just like taking everything to the nth degree and mashing everything up to the fourth and the fifth and the sixth dimension. It basically inheres you in the Doctor Whoniverse in such a way that you can never fully escape it. All your references are references to something in a different Doctor Who format or a different Doctor Who episode.
But does that, or does that mean that the Whoniverse is the same, as in Doctor Who takes place in the same universe as Hitchhiker's Guide?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a tricky question.
Is there a Zaphod somewhere, you know, jumping around the exact same universe?
I don't know. Everyone would hate that, wouldn't they?
Yes,
they?
Obviously.
Well, but yeah, then, so this is as close as they can
but
get
But then don't
to
you kind of hate it if the Doctor is drinking a Pangalactic Gargle Blaster?
Well, maybe I kind of did, yeah. I mean, it's like... Yeah, it's an easy reference. Oh, I don't know. It is iconic. I can it understand is. Why they did it.
Yeah.
He's sitting at a bar... And if he were to drink something completely made up that has no bearing on the storyline and no lead in and no carry forward, then yeah, they're just meaningless words. So I can see why they parachuted the reference in, but no, it's not very satisfying.
Hmm.
It's tricky. Okay, yeah, so be more positive. This episode, this comic, this episode, fucking hell, this issue has space pirates in it.
Oh,
so you'd
nice.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Coming up on the Classics channel, by the way.
Yeah, and...
For us, I mean.
I feel I must mention that the faces in particular in this Capaldi episode... I mean, maybe... Mm. Issue. Maybe Capaldi just has a more distinctive face and Clara, because we've seen a lot more of them on TV recently. But I thought that they were excellent in this. This issue was drawn by Rachel Stott, and there are loads of different angles, and they pretty much stand up from every direction. And I can personally vouch that that is an achievement, because I drew the cover image for Blink.
Oh, yes, you did.
And it took me all night, and 25 reject Ponkins.
You did a great, great job of that. And I love your reject these. Check my Twitter feed for that.
But all I can say is I know that it's bloody difficult. And so, well done, essentially. This comic is a bit early for me to review it, or at least give it a rating. I suppose we did this in episode one on the basis of one issue.
One issue alone, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to refrain. Maybe if we come back to this in number 3 years down the line.
Okay.
Yeah. Another thing, you brought up Wilfred Mott.
Yes.
I couldn't find any, from all the previews that we've been sent, and there are lots, by the way. Thank you, Tyson. Very generous.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes. Couldn't find any Donna Noble comics.
Oh, thank goodness.
Big shame.
Oh, I'm
At
so
least
pleased.
For the last year, the writers and artists, they've conspired to write her out of Doctor Who history. They'll even bring back Wilf, but not Donna.
But just for 2 frames. And by the way, spoiler alert, he dies. It's 2 frames of him dying and that's it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but I think it's... I mean, I haven't read on past that point. I suspect that it's some, like, alternate reality Wilf.
Yeah. And, you know, Martha Jones is a 10th companion, and she's not popular, but she gets a whole bunch of comics.
She does?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, she does. But no, none for Donna. But maybe that's not such a problem, because next time on New Who...
Oh, we will be reviewing Donna Noble. God damn it. I'm just... Oh. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, stay tuned for Ponkin's unlikely conversion.
Oh, sorry, can I just say one thing? That the Four Doctors one that I, that I read, or I'm in the process of reading, way better artwork. You reminded me of this just now. Way better artwork than the Eighth Doctor one. In the Four Doctors, not only do you get like a very satisfying interaction between these different Doctors, and it is really like you imagine that they would be talking to each other, but it really looks like it as well. The artist did a fantastic job.
Okay, cool.
That
okay.
artist is called Neil Edwards.
Nice one, Neil.
Well done, Neil.
Okay, there is something I would say then. You just reminded me.
Okay.
Of the 11th Doctor Adventures. The artwork is usually very good.
Okay.
But there is one panel, and it's a full page portrait, essentially, of River Song.
Oh, wow.
And... it's awful. She gets horrible little piggy eyes. I wondered, it couldn't be a mistake. Like, maybe they subconsciously hate the Mary Sue element of the whole River Song thing and just, like, well, this is what I really feel about her. There's another panel where she has weird swollen eyes, like myxomatosis or something. It's,
oh, wow.
It's bizarre. I mean, on the whole, it's fairly good. It's not as good as the Capaldi one by Rachel Stott, as I said.
Yeah.
It's mostly good, but it's not uniform.
So overall, did you... I mean, you're still enjoying reading these comics, right? Are you going to go on? I mean, Titan is still sending them to us.
Yeah, it's an imposing assignment, essentially, to try and get a handle on the scope of this enterprise. And I said this at the end of the last episode, and we've made a more concerted effort for this one to branch out across issues and to different serials and so on. And still, I feel like hardly I've got a more of a grip on it.
There's so much out there. I mean, almost every single Doctor is represented in one way or another. And every single one of the ones that are represented have multiple serials going on. So there's just so much comic content to go. And that's just the Titan Comics material.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're not saying not to.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you've got to sort of plan how you're going to go about this. Otherwise,
how about this?
If you want satisfaction.
Yeah. How about this? Podcast Land. If there's anyone out there who has read any specific Doctor Who comics and that you really like or that you really dislike and that you really, really would like to hear us talk about, then just, you know, drop us a line, whobackwhen@gmail.com, and let us know which ones and why. And we may just bring them up in a future bonus episode. Otherwise, there is actually no telling. There may very well be a third bonus episode in which we cover more comic books. Thank you very much, Titan.
And we may even get more hosts involved because Nick
actually does... I mean, yeah, sorry, go for it.
Yeah, Nick could speak of a position of experience rather than utter ignorance.
He actually does read comic books, so, far better at this than we are.
If he wasn't away on a survival weekend right now, we'd probably have... We can release that
secret.
We
can say that now, yeah. Surprise us out. Very happily. I'm sure he'd like that as well. But there are also... Sorry, a super quick note before we tie this up. There's also a series of Torchwood comics.
Oh, really?
Which could be quite interesting. Because, I mean, at some point, at this point in where we are with New Who on Who Back When, we should really already have dipped out and at least on a bonus episode, Torchwood. Because they've already started Torchwood at this point.
Yeah.
So maybe we could do that and talk a little bit about the comic books as well. Who knows?
Oh, the Torchwood comics?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think that might be it for this time around. Next time we will be reviewing, it will either be a classic, in which case it is The Invasion, or it will be a New Who episode, in which case it will be...
Partners in Crime.
Yeah.
With Donna Noble!
With Donna Noble. And the next Audio Who review that we will be dropping will be of The Cannibalists. Still haven't reviewed that one.
Here's a question.
Go for it.
They're making this new series Terrifying Classroom, or whatever it's called.
Yes, Class.
Class, okay.
Terrifying Classroom is a catchy title.
Well, basically, we talked about crossovers earlier.
Yeah.
If they're going to do a comic of that, please have the Demon Headmaster turn up. Please.
Oh, from School Reunion.
Is the Demon Headmaster in School Reunion?
Wait, Demon Headmaster? Do you mean of the... Oh, what were they called now? Do you mean the guy who's played by Giles of Buffy fame?
No. Oh, there's a proper CBBC series called The Demon Headmaster.
Oh, I see.
Of my childhood. Oh, it was good. Sorry, we're getting wildly off topic.
I wonder if JD actually references that in our review of School Reunion.
Possibly. I mean, it's indelibly imprinted on the nation's children's minds, now young adults.
It rings a vague bell, but I'm not sure.
Oh, he's great. He hypnotizes you with his eyes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, where are we going? Class. No, the whole point about Terrifying Classroom /class, if they are going to persist in calling it that, is... Are we going to do that down the line as spin-offs? What about Sarah Jane?
Well, let's definitely do a bonus episode about Class. We definitely need to do a bonus episode about Torchwood because we have said we will do bonuses about all the spin-offs and everything that just happened sort of in chronological order. And that's what we did with the Cushings, for example. We did those exactly as they happened chronologically with Classic Who. We just kind of failed to do it with the start of Torchwood. So that's coming up.
Oh, it's hard to remember exactly when Torchwood actually began after all the seeding that RTD did for years.
Oh, yeah. If only there was some sort of digital network upon which we could go looking for this information.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that lays bare that we haven't even done that.
Yeah. So exactly. But yeah. So Torchwood has already started. We need to do that. But Class, that's starting quite soon. It's a very good point that you raise. Let's do a bonus episode of it. Let's watch the pilot and just review it.
Yeah, I have high hopes for it because it's written by Patrick Ness.
Ooh.
Or he may be the showrunner. He's basically, his name is attached to the project. I don't know exactly what he's doing. But Patrick Ness wrote a book, he's written several young adult books, A Monster Calls.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of that?
Well, there's a film adaptation of it coming out very soon, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's good. So I think it will definitely be worth a bonus episode.
Okay. Cool. Looking forward to it. In the meantime, can people reach out to you on the internet?
Yes, they can. They can find me on Twitter, @DrewBackWhen.
Nice one.
I have found a Droop Egwene. Okay, what about you, Ponkenstein?
They can find me at Ponken.
Here's a soundbite. Ponkenstein?
Not Ponkenstein.
Yeah, you missed a trick there, mate.
Here's a soundbite of JD seeing how you spell that.
P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponken.
Thanks, JD.
Thank you so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Catch you in the next one. Rock on, be rad next to each other, and ciao.
Bye.
Kablamo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends, no problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen, all in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus Who Back When. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who Back When just got its very own Twitter account, no lie, so give us a follow. You guessed it, that's at Who Back When, all in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Ciao.
Who Back When?